Fine. Okay, I got it to record. Okay. We are starting from Ches Amid Beis. The Gemara had just said that there's three things that Tzuyah is like Eretz Yisrael, and three things that Tzuyah is like Chutz La'aretz. So the first thing the Gemara said, it's Chayav and Maaser and Shvi'ah is Eretz Yisrael, is because Kibush Yachud Shmei Kibush, it's considered Eretz Yisrael. So we are up to third line from the top, Ches Amid Beis. But right till the Kanes L'Batar and Nechnas, if you want to enter Surya and remain Tohar, you can go in. Frek the Gemara of Amrit Afrit Tameh. Well, the six things, three things that it was like Chutz La'aretz. One of them was that. Yes.
You just got the phone turned on. Can you start from the beginning?
Yes. Okay. We are the third line from the top of Ches Amid Beis. The Gemara just finished saying that there's three ways that Surya is like Eretz Yisrael, and three ways that it's like Chutz La'aretz. So there's a contradiction here, because in the things that it's like Chutz La'aretz, the first thing listed on the list on Ches Amid Aleph was Afra Tameh, that the ground is considered Tameh, which is a rabbinic thing, that they made the ground Tameh. And yet, it says right afterwards in the three things that it's like Eretz Yisrael, that you can enter Betara. That seems to be a contradiction. Now, in the reason that the ground is Tameh, which I didn't discuss last week, the Rambam says it's because Goyim buried dead people all over the place. And therefore, we never know when we're... Again, I want to make this clear. It's not biblical, because biblically speaking, we don't have to worry about the places that the Goyim buried their dead. It's not the majority of the land. But the Rambam were worried about the fact that there can be dead people anywhere, that they made Gzeira. That's what the Rambam says, why they made the Gzeira on Chutz La'aretz. And Tysus and Maseches Nazir says, is because people died in the Mabul, and it's impossible to know exactly where they were buried. So therefore, there were guys who were in Eretz Yisrael, and according to Muhammad the Amr, there was no Mabul, and therefore nobody got buried in Eretz Yisrael. That's the Tysus says. Anyway, whatever the reason is, Chazal made a takana that the land is Tameh, but at the same time they said you can enter in Betara. That seems to be a contradiction, and that's what the Gemara is asking right here. Third line from the top, Ches Amid Beis. But right till the Kanes L'Betara Nichnas, if you want to enter Betara, you can go in. Iva Amrit Avrit Tameh. Didn't you just say that the dirt is Tameh? Zuck the Gemara, and I'll explain it outside, then we'll do it inside. In the takana of the Tum of Eretz Amim, there was a two-stage takana. Originally, they made a takana that if anybody touches or carries the dirt of Chutz La'aretz, they are Tameh. But if somebody is in the airspace of Chutz La'aretz without being in the dirt, without touching or carrying the dirt, he was Tahar. It was only a takana on touching or carrying the dirt. Then they expanded it to include anybody that's over the dirt in Chutz La'aretz. That means even if he doesn't touch it or carry it, but if he's in over it, he's a mahil on it. Word in English would be he is, I don't know, but he's over it. I guess there's no better word to say it. Then he's tameh as well. In Surya, they made one takana and not the second takana. Because since we say it is considered like Eretz Yisrael for a lot of things, so they in the original takana of Afra tameh, they were included. But in the Avira being Tameh, meaning being over the ground, they were not included. So the difference would be Meshida Teva Migdol. If somebody enters in a box, in a wooden box, that is big, that's not Mekabel Tameh. And therefore, he is shielded from, he's not touching the dirt. Right? He's not touching the dirt. And somebody's carrying this big wooden box. And this big wooden box is not Mekabel Tameh. So therefore, the airspace of Chutz La'aretz would be Tameh, but in we'll see why in a moment. And in Chutz La'aretz, in Surya, he would be Tahar. Why? The Tanya. Let me explain this. Hanichnas La'aretz Amim B'shita Teva Migdol. Now, I'm explaining this halacha. I have to give a little bit of an introduction. Anything that's Mekabel Tameh does not block Tameh. For instance, if somebody is in a... is on a metal tray, and he's there's a mace under the metal tray, and he's on top of the metal tray. He is tameh because anything that becomes tameh cannot block the tumma. Metal keli becomes tameh, and therefore cannot block the tumma. A wooden keli also becomes tameh and cannot block the tumma. But there's a special halacha by wooden kelim that if it's made not to move around, it's a heavy wooden keli, it holds a lot of volume, then it's not makabel tumma. So this shida teva migdol is talking about a big wooden keli that can hold more than 40 sah, which is a certain amount of volume, and therefore is not makabel tumma. So now, it is a machloikus if that, but it's moving. It's not stationary. They're carrying this big wooden thing, and this guy's in this closet, this wooden closet, that's not makabel tumma. So the question is, can it block the tumma when it's not stationary? So that's a machloikus tanoim. Rebbe holds that if a person is in a moving big wooden box, since it's moving, it does not block the tumma from entering. And Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda holds that since it's not makabel tumma because it's a big wooden box, the fact that it's moving doesn't change the halacha. This is called in Lashon Kodesh ayol zarek, a moving ayol. Does that block the tumma from entering or not? So Rabbi says it doesn't, and Rabbi Yossi Rabbi Yehuda says it does. So let's say a guy would go into Chutz Laaretz and be in a wooden closet that people are carrying. According to Rebbe, he's tumei because he's over the ground of Chutz Laaretz, and the block of the Shida Tego Migdol, I don't like the word block, the hefsik, the partition that the Shida Tego Migdol is providing him doesn't work because it's moving. It's not stationary. Rabbi Yehuda says it doesn't make a difference since he's in a closet that's not makabel tumma, so the partition blocks him from being over the ground, and he's not makabel tumma, he's not tameh. So this is a machlokes in Chutz Laaretz. So since in Surya they didn't make tumma only of touching the ground, and here he's not touching the ground, Rebbe would agree that he's not makameh. So let's read it inside. The Tanya. Hanifnas v'ayetam and b'shita tevo migdol. He enters in a kind of wooden box, and I don't know the difference between the three, but they're basically big wooden boxes that don't become tameh. Rebbe mitameh, because since it's a moving aisle, it's a moving partition, it doesn't block the tumma from going through. Therefore, the person's considered over the ground, and he's tameh. Rebbe Yossi Yehuda mitaher, because a moving partition can block the tumma from going through. I feel a Rebbe like a mitameh, elaberet zamen. Even Rebbe's not Matame, only in Chutz Laaretz, where there were two Gzeres. The Gazu first Agusha, first they made a Gzera on the ground itself, touching and carrying it. Then they added Alavira, being on top of the ground, airspace above the ground. Avo Surya, Agusha Gazu, Alavira Le Gazu. On Surya, they were only guys who were touching or carrying the ground. Being over the ground is not included in the Takana. So even according to Rebbe, that this wooden box does not provide any protection, but doesn't make a difference. He's not touching or moving the ground, and therefore he's tar. So going back to our Braisa, Afra Tameh Chutz Laaretz. Yes, the dirt of Surya is Tameh like Chutz Laaretz, but yet it's possible to enter it without becoming Tameh. And the way you enter it without becoming Tameh is by being in a big wooden box that you're not touching the ground. And even though this wooden box is not a partition because it's moving, still, it's a, he's not touching the ground, the livery store. And Tyson says they could have said he's riding a horse. Same thing. It doesn't have to be in a big wooden box. He's riding a horse. He's in the airspace. He's above the ground, but he's not touching the ground. So that according to Rebbe, according to this price, he would be tarred. That's what Tyson says. Rashi doesn't bring it. Some want to say Rashi disagrees. It gets complicated and why. So we'll just assume like Tyson's here. That if the guy were riding the horse, it would be the same thing. He's not touching the ground, but he's in the airspace. So he's over the ground. So according to in Chutz Laaretz, that would be Tameh. In Surya, they only made the first Takana, which is that the ground is Tameh, but not the being above the ground, and therefore it's possible to enter Surya even though you're Tahar. Rashi. Dr. Rashi, last wide line. b'shida teva migdol, b'nois and nois of Avr, they're carrying it in the airspace. Masha'en came b'eretz amim, v'rebbe, he's going like Rebbe. Rebbe mitame, k'savar oil zarek loishmei oil, a moving tent, a moving partition, does not block. Hakim b'forish b'erivin, that's what it says in Erivin. Oil metaltu, the oil that moves, eina oil b'shas t'tulay, does not accomplish a partition while it's moving. The blockage that this oil gives you between him and being above the land of the nation, lav chatzitza is not a chatzitza. Mashminin haytana, this Tana is teaching me the Surya Dulel, the Tana the Surya Dulel, the Tana that talked about Surya. Now, Philip Rebbe, loika matame el beretz amim. Even Rebbe would only be matame el chutz laretz. The Gazru al Gusha, Maga Umasa Veloy Ayo. The original Gzera was only Maga Masa, not Ayo. You got him hell, Allah, because the meaning of the parak based Allah. Like the Mishnah said in the second parak in Allah, that originally the Takana of Tumma and Eretz Amim only included touching and carrying. While Avira, then they added a second Takana, Sheanichnes Avira Tame. One who enters the airspace should be Tame. Even if it didn't touch or move the dirt. On the ground, they were guys that are touching and moving. It didn't touch and it didn't move it. So that's how we reconcile. Yes.
The reason that Syria was different was because. Because there was not enough Jews over there, and was the kibbutz from David a good one for Bnei Yisrael?
Again, it was Eretz Yisrael, but it was a kibbutz yachid, and therefore they still gave certain amount of halacha. We passed this Gemara is going the kibbutz yachid is considered a kibbutz.
It's right? Not a complete kibbutz.
It's a complete kibbutz for Tumas and Isis, but for certain halachas. I think part of the reason is because it wasn't a large Jewish population, and there had been many goyim there, therefore they kept some halachos of chutz laretz there.
Okay, I guess my final question is, when Israel does kibbutz laretz outside of Eretz Israel, are they supposed to be megaya the goyim or destroy the goyim?
If they're not from the Shavuomites, no.
Okay, thank you.
Well, I'll take that back. You can't have the Avodah Zarah living in Eretz Yisrael. So the Goyim would be given one of three choices. They could die. They could accept mitzvahs. They don't have to accept mitzvahs. They could accept Zayah mitzvahs, meaning become Gerei Teshav, that they accept the Zayah mitzvahs the correct way and they don't serve Avodah Zarah, or they could leave. Hello?
If they don't leave and they don't agree,
they can't stay in Eretz Yisrael, so I guess you take care of business the way you take care of business in a war, you know what I mean? I mean, I know in America we don't like to talk about this, but in wars people die, unfortunately. And people either, when they lose a war, are very agreeable to terms because they have no option. If you conquer a country, the residents of the country are agreeable to your terms very quickly because they realize that you're the boss now. So they're told either to become Gerei Teshuv or to leave. And that's true, you're not allowed to have Avodah Zarah living there. Which is very good because it leads us to the next piece of Gemara. Vakaina sada besuria to kaina parvava Yerushalayim. Buying a field in Surya is like buying it in the outskirts in the province of Yerushalayim. Correct the Gemara lemay hochasa. For what purpose? Amar Rav Sheshes Leimar shekaisvin of einay afilu b'shabbos. Just like in Yerushalayim, if a person buys land from a guy, now the Gemara is going to explain, so everybody should have a little bit of patience. You can write the deed on Shabbos. The deed can be written on Shabbos because there's a mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and not to give I'm the Avedazar in Eretz Yisrael. There's a mitzvah to have Yidden live in Eretz Yisrael, not I'm the Avedazar. Therefore, we allow the deed to be written on Shabbos. So Surya, since it's Eretz Yisrael, because Kibush Yelch and Shemei Kibush, we also allow the deed to be written on Shabbos. Frek the Gemara b'Shabbos al-Kadartuch. Are we allowing Jews to write on Shabbos? It's one of the Malachas. And for the Gemara, because the Amar Rav, Aymer Leiv, Gacham, V'Aysa, you can tell a guy to write the deed. Meaning, even though we ban telling Goyim to do work for us rabbinically, because Rabbanan don't want, there's two reasons for it, which I will explain momentarily. However, because of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, they allowed us to tell a guy to do the malacha, to tell him to write the deed. So we can get rid of the guy as fast as we can, because Rashi explains he plans to leave. And since he plans to leave, then we allow it. That means Rashi seems to indicate that if he's going to be here tomorrow, we shouldn't do it. Most Paiskim don't bring that clause, but the Rav Shulchan Aruch does. That it's only permissible to tell a guy to write a deed on a house in the Eretz Yisrael on Shabbos is if the guy is planning to leave and he won't be there tomorrow to sell you the house. So it's either today or no time. But if he's going to be there tomorrow, the Rav Shulchan Aruch paskins, you can't do it. Other paskim leave that out. They seem to allow it, period. Just get it done, get the guy out, even though it means telling a guy to write a contract on Shabbos, which is rabbinically prohibited, but you're not allowed to tell a guy to do malacha for you, and you are telling a guy to do malacha for you. Rashi. B'parvavai, b'pilchei. This is the province. Einai. Can I just finish the Rashi? Einai, shtar mechira, kibay v'hayu einais u'shtaras yaitzin al-shamay. Different contracts going out in his name. Pilu b'shabbos, lakum ha'evik ha'chavim, and, this is the key that Rashi throws in, b'rayt z'leil ha'chadarka b'shabbos, the guy wants to travel on Shabbos. Kedam ha'ravim m'sefti Shabbos m'shem yishav eretz Yisrael, l'garish ha'evik ha'chavim, b'lay shav Yisrael boy. To chase away Avodah Zarah, and that Yidden should live in Eretz Yisrael. Now, I want to spend a few minutes here. So first I'll answer the question, because I want to explain the halachas that we learned from this Gemara. Yes?
Did the transfer of funds happen? When did the transfer of funds happen?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. Can you speak up? I'm sorry, can you speak up a little louder?
When did the transfer of funds happen?
The transfer of funds maybe happened before. Whatever it is, it's very important you say that. It could be that the transfer of funds happened before, but if you don't have that contract, it's not going to work because you won't be able to prove things. So you need that contract written to prove that you own it and that the guy doesn't own it. You made an interesting point.
Rabbi, why is that a rabbinic prohibition and not a biblical prohibition? Is the guy not considered his eved writing on Shabbos?
Well, it's not an Eved Kanani.
I thought that was a biblical prohibition.
No, it's not.
Doesn't the Torah...
Biblically speaking, the Torah never says that a guy can't do work for you on Shabbos. The Torah says that you have to rest on Shabbos. A guy is not obligated to keep Shabbos so he can work for you. Now, he's not your Eved Kanani, but then he's obligated in Shabbos. So we're talking about a regular guy in the street. Doesn't have to keep Shabbos. So biblically speaking, I can ask him to do any malacha for me, biblically speaking. The Rabbanan asked it for one of two reasons. And this is what I wanted to spend a moment on. They asked it because it looks like he's your agent. So even though biblically there's no agency to a guy, but rabbinically it looks like he's working for you as an agent. We don't like your agency to be doing work on Shabbos. The second reason they asked it is called Daber Davar. You're not allowed to speak on Shabbos things that you're not allowed to do. So you can't tell a guy to do something because you're not allowed to talk about these things. The difference would be two things. Let's say I tell a guy on Friday to work for me on Shabbos. So I didn't speak on Shabbos when I wasn't allowed to, but he's my agent. What if I tell him on Shabbos to do it on Sunday? So he's not my agent on Shabbos, but since I spoke Shabbos about things I'm not allowed to do, like telling a guy to do something, that's why it's prohibited. So there's two reasons why telling a guy to do work is banned on Shabbos. Either because he's your agent or because you're telling him something You're not supposed to be talking about those things, so you're sure not to tell it to get done on Shabbos. So those are the two reasons. One reason applies even if you tell them on Friday, and one reason applies if you tell them on Shabbos to do it on Sunday. So, and if you tell them on Shabbos to do it on Shabbos, then both reasons apply. Now, from this Gemara, we see that under certain circumstances, we allow Amira La'akum. Now, I'm not going to go through all the halakhos of when we allow a guy to do work for you. That's not our share now. We're not learning Hilchos Shabbos. But this opens up a big discussion, because we're allowing you to tell the guy to do the malacha because of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. How about for a different mitzvah? Am I allowed to tell a guy to do malacha for a different mitzvah? Can I tell him I want to learn. I need Masechta Gittin. I don't have Masechta Gittin, and he has to carry it for me. Can I ask a guy to do me a favor, go to the shul, get me Art School Masechta Gittin Volume 1 and bring it to my house? There's no Erev. Right, so I'm asking a guy to do an Ister for me, to bring a Sefer to me. Now, let's say there's a Rishus HaRabim in between. So that's totally banned. You're not allowed to tell a guy, even though it's a mitzvah. Not all mitzvahs are created equal. It seems that mitzvah Yishuv Eretz Yisrael has a special dispensation that you can tell a guy to violate a biblical Ister to go and bring it to you. Now, we allow to tell a guy to do a rabbinic iser for the purpose of a mitzvah. That we do allow, but not a biblical iser. Unless it's a tzibur. By a tzibur, we are more lenient. So if the whole shul needs the light turned on, we allow telling the guy to tell him to turn the light on because it's for a shul. But if a person needs the light on in his own house, it's not simple to tell the guy, I need the light on, turn it on, because you're not allowed to tell, even if it's a mitzvah. You need to eat Shabbos meals. You need to learn. But turning the light on, in the olden days for sure, when it was incandescent bulbs, was a deraisa. And you're not allowed to tell a guy to do a deraisa even for a mitzvah. The only exception is Yishuv Eretz Yisrael and possibly bris milah. Possibly, it's a machlekes rishonim. But for a shvus to shvus, which means to tell a guy to do a rabbinic iser, we allow for a mitzvah. We don't allow it for non-mitzvah, but we allow it for a mitzvah. And for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, we allow him even to do a biblical mitzvah like writing. That's what the Mefarshim say. There is an opinion, but it's not the accepted opinion, that the guy can only write the contract not using the Hebrew lettering of a Sefer Torah. There's a sheet of the Arz Ruah that says, writing in any other font besides the ones of Sefer Torah is only rabbinic, and therefore it's telling the guy to do a rabbinic esser, not a biblical esser. But all the Mishnayim rejected the Mishnah Berurah as a whole piece, saying that it's not the accepted thing that writing in any font would be considered a biblical violation, and only Yishuv Eretz Yisrael allows that to happen. I hope I've been clear. What? I'm sorry? I didn't hear the question.
I'm in Torah Kineged Kulam. How come it's not a bigger mitzvah to learn Torah?
It might be, but they didn't allow telling a guy to do anything for Limud HaTorah that violates biblical law. It's not allowed. You cannot tell a guy to turn on your incandescent bulb so you can learn. They didn't allow it. It's usher. Yishuv Eretz Yisrael.
Rabbinic iser.
If it's a shvus to shvus, it's called. Telling a guy to do a rabbinic iser would be allowed for a mitzvah, correct? For a mitzvah, correct. It would be allowed to do for a mitzvah, 100%. So therefore, I can tell the guy, let's say there's no Erev, and I need food, and I don't have food for my Suda Shabbos, not for my extra dessert, but for my basic meal, I can tell a guy to carry it from my neighbor's house to my house, no Erev. It's rabbinically prohibited because we're not in a Rosh Hashanah Rabbim. I can ask a guy to please bring it over because I'm asking him to do a rabbinic violation, and he is the second one, meaning he is a guy doing malacha, which is also rabbinic, so it's a double rabbinic. Double rabbinic is permitted for mitzvah. That's halacha. But a single rabbinic, to tell a guy to do a biblical violation, is a single rabbinic, is not allowed for mitzvah, except we're makel the tzibur. For a tzibur, we're makel because of whatever it is. I'm not going to get involved in that. But for an individual, not for a congregation, we don't allow a guy to do a biblical ether at all, ever. Except for Yishuv Eretz Yisrael, which is the exception to the rule because of the greatness of the mitzvah of Yishuv Eretz Yisrael. I know it's pointed out that Talmud Torah is a bigger mitzvah, but still, for that, Chazal did not allow a guy to do a biblical violation. That's the halacha. Okay. Go ahead, Victor. Tana Rabbanan. Eved Shehevi Gitai. Okay. Now, Eved Kanani is in a certain ways, we're going to learn more about this as the Masechta goes on. His bill of freedom that an Eved Kanani gets, meaning like this. The halacha is that a person who wants to free an Eved Kanani for whatever reason gives him a shtar shichur, which is a bill of freedom. The bill of freedom has the same halachas in many ways as the bill of divorce to a woman. We learned it out from Gzeira Shava that writing the bill of freedom carries with it a lot of the halachas that writing a divorce carries. One of them being it has to be written l'shem, the Eved, l'shma. A lot of the halachas go over. Now, one of the halachas that went over is the halacha b'fanei nechtam b'fanei nechtam. Somebody brings a bill of freedom to an Eved. The Eved Kanani is residing in Eretz Yisrael, and they're bringing it from Bavel, or it makes no difference. They're bringing it from Bavel to the United States. The Eved Kanani is in the United States, and the owner is on vacation in Bavel. Let's say now he's on vacation in Miami, and he wants to send his bill of freedom to the Eved who's in Cleveland. He can send him the bill of freedom, and the messenger who brings it says, b'fanei nechtam, in order to stop the owner from coming later on and claiming that this was a forged thing, and therefore the Eved's not free. We don't want that to happen. So we just like by a woman, Mishumi Guna, we allow one witness to testify that he watched the writing and the signing, and we accept that, and the owner can no longer come and claim, the husband can no longer claim forgery. Same thing is true by an Eved Kanani, that he is believed, that the messenger is believed to say, b'fanei nechtam or b'fanei nechtam. It was done for this reason, again, because we're playing around with a very major thing here. The Eved Kanani is free. He's a Jew. He can marry a Jewish girl and not a Shifcha Kananis. And if the owner is going to come and claim it was a forgery, it's going to create havoc. And we're going to have to look for Adam to recognize their signatures. And that's going to be very difficult. So the same takana that was made for a woman's divorce was also made for an Eved Kanani bill of freedom. That's the halacha. So now, just like a woman can bring her own get and say b'fanei nechtam, in a very strange case, which is a woman comes in as an agent. The husband said, you can get divorced when you get to this town. She comes to Bezin and says b'fanei nechtam. Then Bezin gives it back to her, and she's divorced. Same thing in Eved Kanani, who brings his own bill of divorce, of freedom, and he was told by the master that he has to take it to Bezin and give it to Bezin, and they should give it to him. He can tell Bezin, b'fanei nechtam, which is a very big chiddush that the Eved Kanani himself is believed to say in his own bill of freedom that I saw it written and signed, and his testimony to that fact is like the woman's testimony to her own bill of divorce, and we accept that. If the husband comes and claims forgery, we would not listen to him, and if the owner comes and claims forgery, we wouldn't listen to him either. So there's a certain analogy between the bill of divorce of a woman and the bill of freedom of an Eved Kanani. So let's read it inside. Now, the Gemara, of course, is not going to, that's the next Mishnah. But here the Gemara is going to discuss a offshoot of that case. But again, I want to clarify, any Eved Kanani whose get is brought to him, it's called a get, same thing, get shichrur, means a document of freedom. The document of freedom is brought to him, and again, like every other document, people can come and claim it's a forgery. So in order to keep that from happening, in monetary cases, we do require two Adam to validate signatures. We did not make a special takana. By a woman's divorce, we made a special takana, and that became a limit out of it said, Mishimiguna. Included in that takana was also in a bill of freedom, in a document of freedom, the Eved Kenani is treated like a woman is treated, and one witness, the messenger himself, by saying, I watched the writing and the signing, can validate this bill of freedom, and now nobody can come and claim, no owner can come and claim and say, this is no longer, this was forged. Because we believe the messenger, like more than the husband, like we did by get, the same as we did by a woman's get. That's the halacha. Based on that, we're going to have the next piece of Gemara. So the Gemara is assuming that we know that halacha, and we're moving on from there. But that's the halacha. And it includes, and again, I want to repeat this, just like when the woman brings her own get, she can say, b'fananechtem, the Eved Kenani brings his own bill of divorce, he can also tell Bezin, b'fananechtem, and it's validated, and no longer can the owner come back and say, this is a forged document, I never freed my Eved Kenani. Which, without this Tarkana, we would require two witnesses to validate their signatures. This Tarkana eliminates that need. That's what we're saying. I guess people were afraid to forge signatures, and therefore the fear that it's forged is really not a great fear. And therefore we made this Tarkana that the Eved saying, b'fananechtem, eliminates the ability of the owner to claim forgery. Tana Rabbanan. Eved Shehevi Gitai, an Eved who brought his bill of freedom. Now, this bill of freedom was complicated. The bill of freedom said two things. You and all my property belongs to you. So he's freeing his Eved Kenani and he's bequeathing him all his property. Not as a Yerusha, but as a present. He's giving him a present of all his property. So this shtar has it in two parts. Part one, the freedom of the Eved. Separate, Atzmacha. Part two, also all the property. So one half of the shtar is a monetary case. Does the property belong to the Eved or not? And the other half of the case is a case of freedom of the Eved. Now this Tarkana, a b'fananechtem, was only said the Eved vis-a-vis his freedom. It did not allow him to validate a monetary shtar. Only allowed him to validate a bill of his freedom. So the question now becomes, are these considered two separate shtaris? Do we look at it as if it's separate documents, one freeing the Eved and one giving him all the property using the same set of witnesses? So the halacha is, Atzmai Kana, Nechasimai Kana. He's believed on himself, but he's not believed to acquire the properties until this shtar is validated. We need the shtar to be validated. Until then, we don't let him take over his former master's properties. That's the halacha, because we know the master can come in and claim that it wasn't true. Now, even though we believe the Eved for himself, that was the Takana de Rabbanon, that for the bill of freedom, we say b'fananechtem is believed. But it was not true for monetary things. Therefore, when it comes to a monetary document, we don't allow it. So this very same document, since it includes two separate things,
what happens to the Eved when he's believed he's free and he's now what?
He's a yet.
He becomes an Eved.
He becomes nothing. He becomes a regular yet like me and you.
You mean he's not? He doesn't have the same mitzvahs. He's an Eved. He was an Eved Kenani before, right?
Right.
Now he's becoming an Eved Ivri?
No, he's becoming a Jew. Not an Eved. He's not an Eved anymore.
He's now becoming. So let me ask a question. By the case of an Isha that is believed, does she get her ksuba?
Very good point. Very, very good point.
Sorry, I didn't hear that part.
So, again, it was a very, very good point. Like always, you asked a very good question. And the Mepharshim speak out that really she shouldn't get her ksuba. But the member we had in Yavamas towards the end, that any woman that's allowed to get married, the ksuba said, when you get married, you collect your ksuba.
Right.
Remember? Oh, yeah. So therefore, the minute we let her get married, she can collect her ksuba. Because it says, the Ksuba document states that whenever she has permission to get remarried, she has permission to take a Ksuba.
Well, she ain't came by the Eved, it's not a shtickle Torah like that, right?
Right. Now, they do point out that the Eved earns money. So that's a monetary part of being an Eved. There's two parts to being an Eved. The restriction of who he marries, the keeping of the mitzvahs that a woman is not chayven, and also a monetary that he earns his own money and it belongs to him. So they say that the earning of the money is like the tzuba. Once he's free and he's allowed to marry a Jewish woman, he keeps his own money. But here, the owner was giving him extra money that has nothing to do with being free. It was a second present. So therefore, that needs validation. And therefore, there's a big machlokes we shine in here. What if the owner doesn't come and claim forgery? Here is this messenger coming, hands the Eved a shtar, shekhar, a bill of freedom. And in the bill of freedom it says, I'm freeing you, and I'm giving you all my property. So we believe the messenger as far as the Eved's concerned. We don't believe him as far as the property is concerned. Now, it's now 6 months later, a year later, 2 years later, the master never came forgery. Can we give it to the Eved, or do we say, we tell the Eved, till you validate the signatures, we're not letting you go into the property? That's the Machlokes Rishayim. Some Rishayim say that in monetary cases, we require validation before the owner comes and claims forgery, because we want to avoid future problems. So we say, you have to validate the signature for us to give you the money. Other Rishayim say, the owner is not here. He's not making a fuss. So we'll let the guy go in, and if the owner comes, we'll have to deal with it and take it away from the Eved. But meanwhile, there's nobody claiming it's a forgery. So this is a machlokes rishayim. But it says over here, nechasim leikana, does it mean nechasim leikana, even if the owner doesn't show up, we require validation on our own to avoid future problems? Or if the owner comes and claims forgery, we won't let the guy keep his nechasim? That's the Machlokes Rishayim. Rashi seems to indicate, like the first one, that we won't allow the guy to take the property until the shtar is validated. Let's read Rashi.
I thought you were going to present a different kind of possession. I thought the Eved was going to be, or former Eved was going to be carrying things. The shtar says, this is my jewelry I'm giving to him. This is my gold I'm giving to him. Then the Eved wants to maybe use it as collateral to start a new life. Who does it belong to? What are his obligations as a shomer?
Same machlokes Rishayim. Some Rishayim would say he's not believed to say the jewelry is his. And, it would be a good question whether we take it away from him or whether we tell him it's not his and he has to keep it in escrow. I don't know. I don't know what the halacha would be. I never thought of the case. I don't know. But in summary, Shaitan would say, if the owner is not claiming anything, well, there's no reason for us to be suspicious when there's no claim. And we don't have to sit here and think about what happens when the owner claims it. We'll deal with it when he claims it. So this is my question. Yeah, it would apply to the jewelry as well. But I don't know what we would do with the jewelry itself. I don't know.
Yeah, I was just asking.
I have a question. It seems like a lot of
chain of commerce.
Abuse. Any Eved can just go and say, I'm free. And it was sworn before me, and he's free.
Does he have a bill of divorce? A bill of freedom?
Yeah, he forged the bill. He forged the bill, and they believe him. He's a free man, and he can never. And you only have no recourse. There's no witnesses.
The answer to that question. The answer to that question is that forging documents was a very, very, very dangerous thing to do. It's a very dangerous thing to do because you get caught with forgery. It's not a simple matter. Just like a woman is believed on her get, and we don't accuse her of forging her own get. So why?
It had some bad consequences for her and Mamzerim, but for an Eved, what's the consequence for an Eved? I mean, Eved wants to be free. I mean, so, and there's no recourse, and there's no punishment. What's the big downside? There's no mamzerim.
You're right. I can't argue with you. But the fact is, Chazal are telling us, biblically speaking, we never think that a star is forged. That's not on our horizon. We never view a star as being forged. Stars don't get forged. That's the assumption. And people are afraid, there's a fear built into people to forge other people's signatures. And it was a rabbinic fear that maybe people will forge. Biblically speaking, we don't assume any forgery. And therefore, we're not going to make this rabbinic thing and impede the Eved from becoming free when there's no Eidim Mitzuyim L'Kaimai. What's he supposed to do? He's living in Eretz Yisrael. The owners made a bill of divorce in Babel. Now, how in the world is that ever going to be able to prove his freedom? He can't validate the signatures. So in order to accommodate him, we made the same takana that we made for a woman, which is not made for monetary cases. Now, you're right. It leaves open the door that every Eved can forge a bill of divorce, a bill of freedom, come in, say b'fanei nechtem, become free, marry a Jewish girl, and chances of him getting caught are very remote because if the owner claims forgery, we say we can't believe you. The only way we'd prove it is if the witnesses themselves come in and say these are not our signatures. Then we'd have a problem. Besides that, he'd probably get away with it. You're right. There's very little that can be done. You're right, yeah. Yes.
I'm not sure I understood everything. Atzmo, we believe him. The Chassim, we don't believe him because of error.
Because of the ability, I told you, it's machlokes b'shanim, whether the husband, the owner is here claiming it's a forgery, or even if he doesn't show up, we want to prevent it from happening and we require validation.
So if the Baal is dead, does that make a difference?
It would make a difference. Well, somebody inherited him, right?
But this he gave us a matana. And nobody else.
He has sons, right? He has sons, and they're claiming that this is a fortune, and they own the money.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody's got to inherit him, right?
So we believe him because he's on the edge of becoming a full Jew, right?
We believe him because the Takana b'fanei nechtem included a bill of freedom. That's why we believe him.
And if a woman comes with a get, and it also includes Nechassim, does that make a difference?
No, she wouldn't be believed in the Nechassim either.
Uh-huh. Okay.
No difference. It's exactly the same.
Okay.
Exactly the same. Rashi. That's Rashi. Evet Shehem Yigitim Evdina Sayyam, B'tzarech Leimer B'farai Nechtav Ki Isha Mavi Yigita. Like the woman who brings her get, that she has to go to Bethan. In a strange case, that he told her she's not divorced till she goes to Bethan. Both bills of divorce and bills of freedom. Shavu l'maylucho, maybe share the same halacha when they're carried across country lines, that they, b'fanei nechtam, is instead of validation. Atzmai kano, the neman hu al shechura, he's believed on his freedom. Leimer b'fanei nechtav. The ain't tzarech edim l'kaima, he doesn't need edim to validate it. Nechassim l'kana, the boy edim kishar kiyim staris. He needs edim, like all other validation of staris, there's no special takana for him. Ibayiluhu. So now the Gemara has the following shayla. Kol nechassai k'nuyim loch mahu. What if the star did not separate the Eved and the property? He told the Eved, here, I hereby give my Eved Kanani all my property. Give Pliny all my property. Now, included in all his property is the Eved himself. But unlike the case before where the Eved was separate and the property was separate, here it's all included in one lump. I'm giving this individual all my property, which includes himself and then the property. But he didn't say, you're free and get the property. He said, you get all the property. Included in all the property is the Eved himself. Can we now say that the Eved is believed on himself and not on the rest of the property? or there's three options, or since he's not believed in the property, he's not believed in himself, or since he's believed in himself, he's believed in the property, because it's in one sentence. It's in the same words. He is part of the property. It's not the first case when he was freed separately and the property was given. Here, it's all one lump word, all my property to you. What do we treat that like? Dr. Gemara, Amar Abaya, B'tayach Shekona Atzmai Kona Nechasim. If we're going to believe him on himself, and the words are not yourself, the words are all of the property, then you have to believe him on all the property. You cannot separate here. Unlike in the previous case, it was two separate statements. Here it's one statement. Amar Rava, Amalei Rava, Bishlam Menachasim, Bishlam Atzmei Likni, Midin Havagat Isha. The Takana was made on himself. El Nachasim Lei Likni, how could he get the property? Midin Havagat Kim Star is Alma. Why doesn't it need validation like every other monetary star? Hadar Rabbaya, Sabaya retracts it. He said, you know, Rava, you're right. Mitayach Shleikana Nachasim, Leikana Atzmei. Since he didn't acquire the property, because he needs validation, in this case, he doesn't acquire himself either because it's in the same words. Amalei Rava, I don't get that either. Mishlam and Nechasim Leilikni means Havakim Shtar Seyama. I agree with you that you can't get the property because it needs validation. Atzmei Likni means Havakat Isha. I mean, Rava says we can separate the two. In the word, all my property, we can distinguish between the Evet and everything else. Elamei Rava, Echadzeh, Atzmei Kana Nechasim Leikana. So Rav Paskins, that we will believe him on himself and not on the rest of the property, even though it's all in the same words, all my property. And therefore, we can still draw that line between himself and the rest of the property, which Abaya refused to do and went in both directions. First he went one way, then he went the other way. But Rav differentiated between the two.
Rashi? Rabbi?
Let me just read. Can I just read the Rashi? Dr. Rashi, meaning that yet, you know what? I'll answer your question first. Yes, I'm sorry. Yes.
According to the Sa'd that says if he said it in one sentence, he gets everything, right? According to that Sa'd, before Rava changed his mind, according to that Sa'd, that it helps. So even if he goes and says it two separate ways, why don't we give Migu? He could have said
that. You on that one.
Sorry?
What? I lost
him. According to the Tzad and listen to Havim, mean that if he says it one line, he gets everything, right?
Right.
Okay, so according to that Tzad, before they had Harata and changed it, so even if he said it in two separate ways, he should be getting everything because he could have said it one. Osmigui.
Again, I hear your question now, which I didn't before. I understand. Well, again, believe me that it's not forged, because if I would have forged it, I would have forged it differently. That's what you're saying.
In something like that, yeah.
I guess that's not enough to validate a star. We don't validate stars, amigos. We need testimony, not amigo.
Thank you.
So we'll stop here and we'll continue. Believe that I'll be back in show tomorrow morning.
Thank you.
Have a good day. Bye bye.